It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. I'll just show you this and then you know what we're talking about today. No, they're not bike sheds for $335,000, although they could be, couldn't they? And this is, in case you haven't seen this picture, actually, I'll throw it up on the screen there in case you haven't seen the picture of the Irish family. Yeah, look at that. Look at this. So this is an excerpt from the new SPHE book that has been given to children doing SPHE. SPHE, in case you didn't know, by the way, is all about relationships and sexuality and all that kind of stuff. By the way, which is good for children to learn about relationships in school. But as you can see, look at the diddly idle family there on the left-hand side. They're the Irish. And of course, that's the cool family on the right-hand side. I'll give you more of an explanation because you can't really see the text there, but I'll tell you all about it in a second. But that's what we're going to be discussing today. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, I'm sure you've seen it over the last 24 hours, because many senators and TDs are now calling for the book to be withdrawn because of what they call, or what some people would refer to as, critical race theory. Now, not only that, by the way, in other news, in an apparent climb down by the Department of Education authorities, according to Grip Media, the final published version of the Leaving Cert SPHE curriculum no longer includes controversial references to white Irish privilege that were present in an earlier draft of the book that was reported by Ben Scallon, who also says, by the way, the new senior cycle SPHE curriculum, students will be taught that pornography is dehumanising, degrading, and particularly for women, and that it is addictive behaviour. But the main controversy this week, reported by Grip's Evie Breen, is what's been described as critical race theory by many others who say that it's a mockery of Irish culture. Now, I think it's important I give you a lot of the details in relation to this before we speak to Niamh. The student is asked to compare three families, and the Irish family is mocked, whereas the other diverse families seem to be favoured in their detail. To give an example, Niamh says, if you love GAA and have a family business, play Irish music and holiday in Ireland, might be critical of RTE and support Irish film making, and maybe keep hens and think potatoes are tasty, you are family A in the SPHE handbook being used in Irish schools since 2023. And it's very obvious that family A are not just inferior to diverse families, but they are probably bigoted, insular and small-minded as well. We also like bacon and cabbage, I believe, too. In the book, we are compared to a Muslim family and also another diverse bunch in a family from all corners of the world, who Niamh says they have smartphones and pizzas and funky square glasses and obviously super mad crack and lovely and gorgeous and kind, open-minded. And we haven't a bad word to say about them. They love change and difference and support their kids in whatever life path they choose. Unlike that old rotten family A, who are forcing their poor children to slave away in a mouldy old family business. Most likely the farm is what they're kind of predicting, isn't it? Or what they're kind of portraying, should I say. And there have been calls from senators and TDs to remove the book immediately from the curriculum. The question must be asked, say, do our government actually hate everything about our culture and our people so much they would publicly mock our traditions? And that's the question I'm asking you today, by the way. I want you to get in touch, 085 100 22 55, because people are saying it online. I'm not asking the question, people are just saying it. Do the Irish government hate us that much? I hate us and our culture. Now, Evie Breen joins me on the line. Niamh, good afternoon to you.
Niall, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Niamh, you wrote a really long, detailed, interesting piece. I could read the whole lot, but it does make the Irish family. There's the cool family, by the way. They're the cool ones. They have the funky square glasses and the smartphones and eat pizzas, and they're all diverse from all corners of the world. One of them kind of looks French, another one looks Asian. Are they all meant to be part of the same family or something? I don't know. But anyway, the Irish family are your typical Aran-wearing, jumper, farming, I love the Late Late Show and eat bacon and cabbage. And we're made out to be very bad people, according to this. So what went wrong here? And who approved this? And what are people saying about it? And what are you saying about it?
So to be honest, Niall, and I would think a lot of people, when they saw this first, including a lot of the TDs and senators and teachers and parents I've spoken to since last week, they actually thought it couldn't be real. They actually, you know, people said this has to be a joke, it has to be fake. There was no way something that is this gratuitously offensive could be in a school book for first years to have to read with their teacher. But it's real. Like, here's the school book. The school book is being used in schools all over the country. It's produced by EDCO. And the chapter is, oddly enough, entitled Inclusion and Exclusion, All Different, All Equal. And you wouldn't mind, I think, Niall, what it says about family B. Like, great. Some families, you know, have lots of different traditions and cultures and races in the one family. They like to travel, everything like that. That's marvellous. Nobody's any issue with family B. And to be honest, I don't think anyone would have any issue with the kind of maybe the overly twee depiction of Family A. Like, sure, half the country's in the GAA. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with
and goes the and goes to Flakeol. Yeah, mentions we go Flakeol.
I was at the Flakeol myself a couple of weeks ago. I think like 600,000 people were at it over the 10 days, the organisers were saying. It was amazing. Like, and the FLA and the GAA and Irish dancing and Irish music, these are kind of showcasing the very best and kind of most ancient parts of our traditions. But that's not what the book did. It didn't just say, oh, Irish families are very occupied or love these kind of traditions. It's that we only love them. And in only loving them, we are bigoted. We hate other religions. We won't allow our children to look at Hollywood movies. We're so insular and narrow-minded that we're just the most awful people in the world. Now, Carol Nolan and other TDs are saying this is a racist description of Irish families. But here's the worst part. Here's the worst part. Not only is it so offensive to say that, you know, like I said, half the country, maybe more, people who love the GAA, people who have their own small business, by the way, hardworking, decent people, people who love Irish music, speak Irish, whatever, who live on the farm. Like, look at the, as you've seen the photo, even the cow looks like it's disparaging the family. You know, these families are.
I'm looking at the cow here. If you look, actually, you can see it. You can see it on the screen there. The cow is even giving them a dirty look. Yeah.
The parents in the description. You'd have to. If you haven't read it, readers, your hackles will rise, right? I've never.
And we only eat bacon and cabbage, by the way, it seems.
Only bacon and cabbage. Like, no one's ever bought a pizza, do you know?
Also,
I mean, you might even think that's a funny part of it, but then the parents are ultra controlling. The children are not allowed to hang around with people of other religions in case they're a bad influence. Like, this horrible, horrible, ugly, nasty, vicious portrayal of Irish
families. Kids are being asked to compare these two families and say, more or less say, which family would you like to be part of? And of course, a child is going to look at the other family and say, well, that looks cooler. I certainly wouldn't want to be part of that, because it depicts this Irish family as being such a strict upbringing, which basically doesn't really exist in Irish society anymore, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, see, this is the horrible thing. So the family, the kids are, it's actually a bit of a weird exercise anyway, right? The book tells the teacher to tell all the children to close their eyes, right? So you've got all these kids in class and they close their eyes, but the teacher reads these descriptions out loud. And people have noticed, for example, in Family B, in the diverse family, a lot of indications that they're kind, they're community-minded, they fundraise for people in difficulty, they volunteer in war-torn areas. Family A does none of that. Family A is just obsessed with Irish culture and then mean-spirited and insular and bigoted and nasty and horrible and controlling with their children. So the kids have sat there, I listened to the teacher read out this nonsense, right? Then the kids are asked which family is more inclusive. And this is the actual cruel part of it. They're asked to pick which family they would choose to be part of. So get this, Niall, you're like a 13-year-old boy or girl. You're sitting in the classroom, you like the guy, you've just come back from the FLA, right? Maybe you won a medal for playing the pipes or the banjo or something. And the next thing, you are being depicted as a horrible, nasty, insular, bigoted person, and your entire class is picking, is being asked and primed to pick another family as being preferable to yours. Now, teachers have said to me, this is actually bullying.
I'm hoping to have her on later on the show, but we did have a school teacher send us a message when we put it up on Twitter today saying that she has to teach this. She said it's actually embarrassing to teach.
Yes, and I think teachers should refuse to teach. I've had teachers getting on to me saying, I'm not going to teach this. I'm telling the school I'm not teaching it. What's more, I want the school to stop taking books from this publisher, because how did this get past the internal control process?
But how did it? Because let's be clear about it. I mean, Norma Foley has been under scrutiny by both Ben Scallon, Grip Media, and many other journalists too over the last year, in particular in relation to what is in the SPHE. Everybody's been watching the SPHE because of the way they want to progress the SPHE. And I'll come to the gender ideology in a second. But, you know, you would imagine because it's under a microscope, they would have been a lot more careful about what they put in it. I mean, this one kind of slipped past everybody.
Well, you see, here's the thing. Like, it's not for me, and I can't, and I, you know, guess as to the motivations of the publisher or the authors or anything like that. But it is so clearly awfully wrong. You know, it should have rang alarm bells everywhere. And I think a huge part of the problem is, of course, parents are really busy. They don't get time to look at every single page of every single book that their kids are bringing home.
No, not at all.
But I'll tell you something that is interesting, okay? I got the Irish language version of the SPHE book. So can people see that? Am I holding it in the right place?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the same book, Health and Wellbeing, Asquare, Get Slunch, August Follow, and your OSS, OSPS. Guess what chapter is missing from it?
The chapter with the depiction of the Irish family.
The chapter with the depiction of the Irish family. Maybe, maybe, and again, you know, you can only kind of guess at this. Maybe the publisher realised a chapter which depicted Irish-speaking, Irish culture-loving, GAA-loving family would go down like a bomb. You know, it would not be accepted in a Grail school, but they thought it'd get away with it in other schools. Like that distinction, the fact that it wasn't in the Irish language version of the SPHE book, I think is really significant.
I mean, like, have you contacted the publisher to ask them why they left it out of the Irish language version? And what did they say? What was their response to that?
Or did even ask. Yeah. We haven't had any response to any of our questions, but like, it's not just the publishers. Norma Foley needs to answer our questions too. And she needs to answer parents' questions. And like, I tell you, I've never received such, like, certainly this year, this is the biggest response to any story we've written this year, because I think people feel like I said, there's barely a person in the country who hasn't listened or partaken in Irish dance and Irish music.
But I like you, I thought it was a joke. I initially, on Saturday morning, I think it was, I saw some people retweeting the images of the book. And I went, that's somebody's just mocked that up on Photoshop. That couldn't be real. And then I saw your story. So I retweeted that then. And I think it has over 2,000 likes or something like that, because obviously it really caught people's imagination. And I genuinely thought it was fake. I thought this couldn't be real. And the same went for the gender ideology part of it. And I'm going to come to that in a second as well. Yeah, and a lot of people have huge objections to that, you know, telling young children, you know, they can be whatever they want to be. I mean, this is gender ideology. If they want to believe that outside of school, that's perfectly fine. But I don't think it's a place for school setting, for schools to be selling children that. But in saying that, like, everybody thought it was fake. But it is. It's hard to believe it's actually real.
It's hard to believe. And it's hard to believe, I think, that we're at a stage in Ireland where a school book publisher, and then perhaps even some schools and even some teachers, can think that it's right to kind of denigrate Irishness like this. Because the book isn't necessarily, there's nothing wrong with diversity. Families are free to be as diverse as they want. And one of the horrible things that's implied in family is that if both your parents are Irish, there seems to be something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? When will we ever get to this position where we're asking kids in school to compare families and rate families? I thought the whole drip was meant to be against that, but it doesn't seem to matter when it comes to making implications, very dangerous, nasty implications about Irishness and about Irish people. And I saw the local story, and Dr. Conor Reedy was on Tip FM, and he said he thought it was really disturbing. And he said there was subliminal messaging at play, which he said, which equated traditional Irish culture with racism. Mm-hmm. And he's 100% right. That's exactly what's going on here. If you, like, it's the old adage, like, just because I love my wife, I don't hate yours. Just because I love my husband, in my case, I don't hate yours. You know, I love my culture. It doesn't mean I hate yours. But what's being implied here to children is if you're mad about the gang, mad about sessions, and, you know, you love Shandos, and you like the things that are really important to our identity, there's also a good chance you're a bigot and a nasty man.
Yeah, because you don't agree with diversity and you don't agree with all those other cool things that the other family have.
You do, but you just happen to like Irish culture more.
So where are we now? I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure at some point during the day Ben is going to nab the Minister for Education, and she will give that gripped look when she sees Ben Scallon in the corner waiting patiently to ask that question. But has there been any response from the Minister whatsoever in relation? Because this has been going around for about 3 or 4 days now. And, you know, so many people have said, I know Carol Nolan has put in an official complaint about TD Carol Nolan, Ronan Mullins has as well, and a couple of other senators and TDs. So has she replied or responded or said anything about it at all?
She has not. But one thing I do think is interesting now, but first can I say, you know, there's a huge amount of chatter these days, especially on the mainstream media and from politicians, about shutting down social media and shutting down alternative voices. And can I just say, like, thank God for Twitter and other social media platforms and yourself, and, you know, not to blow our own trumpet, but platforms like GRIP, because otherwise all of the upset that parents are feeling and teachers are feeling about this book wouldn't really be heard. Like, it's been picked up now by other platforms, but really, I think without those avenues for people to be able to say, have you seen this? Like, have you seen this book? This is crazy. We wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Well, I mean, we could have a deeper conversation about that, because I think we're at a very dangerous juncture now when it comes to social media. And I predicted back in January last year that X will be gone out of Ireland and the EU by Christmas. I don't think I'm going to be too far off, to be honest with you. And I think we're in a very dangerous situation. you know, when Gripped can't promote themselves as they do on X, I promote myself on X, and a lot of the stuff we get out there makes us more popular on X because people get to see it. And I think, you know, X is very important. And I also believe Facebook is very important. I think all of these methods, you know, for people to get their anger out, if it's anger, or their joy out, if it's joy, on social media, I think is really important. And for the government to even suggest...
just so people can be informed. Mm. Like, otherwise, there would not have been a discussion about this without those avenues for people to first raise it, and then eventually now it's being picked up elsewhere. I thought it was very interesting that Gary Gannon, who as a TD is probably diametrically opposed on almost everything to Carol Nolan or people like Matthew McGrath or Ronan Mullen, he's also saying it should be withdrawn from schools. He's also saying, you know, it's absurd, it's ridiculous, that's not verbatim, but he's giving those kind of opinions that, and that it needs to be withdrawn. It must be withdrawn. Like, there should not be, there are kids who have started school last week, nobody should be reading this tripe in school. No teacher should have to go through that chapter, and not one more child.
Let's go all the way. Let's tell all the parents who are listening today, when your child comes home today, if they're in, I suppose, 13 years of age, in second or first year in school, or first, second year in school, just starts in secondary school, and they have this book, there's the book, all right? And they have that book, or the Irish version of it, if you're in a Gaelic school. Well, actually, not the Irish version, because it's not in the Irish version. I would remove it from their bag, and I would put a note in as to why you don't want your child using the book. And I think if enough parents do that and send a strong message out, the book will have to be withdrawn. And because it does have to be withdrawn, and it should be withdrawn not at any cost to the parent, by the way, can I point out. It should be replaced again, and we'll obviously republish. It'll have to be republished without the offending chapter. But just in relation to, okay, that the critical race theory aspect of it, which is what we're talking about there. The other part of it as well is the gender ideology. Do you believe that should be withdrawn from it as well? Now, I know it's, I don't actually have the screenshot of it here at the moment, but you probably have it in your book, which is this idea of a picture of a young child basically telling them that they can be anything they want, and sex is not related to gender. And if you want to be a boy, you can be a boy. If you want to be a girl, you can be a girl, whatever it happens to be. And it goes on about non-binary and queer theory. Do you believe that should be removed from it?
See, here's the thing. I think for a lot of parents, and I've spoken to teachers who said that they've had more contact from parents around that issue, around gender ideology being taught in schools, than they've had really on anything else to do with RSE or SBHE in years. So I think parents are more aware of that, and they're talking about that. And that's why some of the books, I think, toned down what was in them about gender ideology from the original drafts. But, and here's the but, Niall, they're still including and repeating unscientific nonsense, saying things to kids like, your sex is assigned to you at birth. Your sex is not assigned to you at birth. You're a boy or a girl.
Biologically. You know, like, it's not as, nobody gives you a penis or a vagina. You're just born with it.
Nobody imagines it, and then later on you decide for yourself if it's a penis or a vagina. And I think sometimes the cruelest thing about all of this is that there certainly are a very small number of children, and then teenagers who, not children, sorry, let me correct myself there. There are certainly a number of teenagers who have genuine gender dysphoria, you know, who genuinely are confused about their gender. And what those kids need is the best possible medical support and care. So, and this is something, you know, that the doctors who are involved in this, the responsible doctors who are involved in this, have repeatedly said. And instead of that, what we've had is this insane rush towards pretending that nobody, you know, decides their gender identity until they decide it themselves when they're older. This complete denial of the biological reality. That's not helping the small number of children who are genuinely confused either, but it's leading to obviously what we've seen in other countries, this rush to tell kids who maybe just have a little bit of confusion. Like Stella O'Malley says that, you know, she often says, like, she was, when she was young, she was a toy boy. If somebody had been running these kind of courses in school at the time, she might have gone off as a teenager and been rushed into surgery.
Oh, she told me that. She said, yeah, she was a tomboy up to the age of 16. She would have went off and got surgery if it had been in 2023. But she said, thankfully, I didn't. And now she embraces her own femininity. In other words, people change. They do. And we all have changed as teenagers.
And the teenage years now can be a very confusing time for kids. But there's no need to pretend biology is real and stop, like, teaching our kids unscientific facts. You're not helping the kids who have genuine confusion either. You're just creating chaos. You know, and I think kids can actually see this. I think kids can actually see if the teacher, who is a person of authority, a person I respect, a person I trust, starts telling me nonsense, like I was assigned a gender at birth, and, you know, that that being a boy or a girl isn't a real, it's a social construct or something like that. I think it undermines actually like teenagers' respect for teachers when they see.
I'm wondering, you know, if they're doing SPHE and then doing biology in the next class, and biology happens to be about the male and female reproductive systems. You know, they're both contradicting each other. Then one is telling you can be what you want, and the other is telling you what you are when you're born. So they kind of contradict each other. It's almost like many years ago with religion and science.
They do, and they contradict each other within the SPHE course. Because in one part you'd be saying, you know, gender is whatever you want it to be, and we're all assigned to a burden, here's the gingerbread person. And in the next chapter, they'd be saying, women's rights need to be protected. But like, what's a woman? What is a woman if there's no such thing?
Bet you they don't have that in the SPHE book, what is a woman? I don't think, there's not a politician in Ireland that I was going to say they can't answer that question, but it's not that they can't answer it, it's because they're afraid to answer it. Thank you very much indeed, Niamh, for drawing attention to it. It was a great piece, and I know there's a follow-up piece on today as well by Ben in relation to pornography as well. There's a lot of pieces in relation to this book. This book is just an absolute and unmitigated disaster, it seems. Thank you for drawing attention to it. Thank you to Grip Media, and thank you to you, Niamh, as well. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Niall.
Now, there you go. There's Niamh Breen from Grip Media. And you can read that story, by the way, if you go on to Grip Media. That and many other stories, by the way, as well, in relation to that, because also you've got Ben Scallon as well, has written a piece today about pornography, which was also in that book as well. And the attitude towards pornography, that it's an addiction and all sorts of things. But here's the question, right? A lot of people are saying on Twitter, or X as it's now known, the government hates the Irish. You know, when you see stuff like that, and you like when you see this diddly idle family, right? And don't get me wrong, there are Irish families who look kind of, I'll put it back up on the screen there actually, rather than me holding it up, it's easier to put it back up on the screen. See there, okay, so you can see that, where's that side there? You can see that family, the Irish family there, okay? Now, there are kind of rural Irish families who kind of maybe look a little bit like that. They're probably few and far between nowadays, by the way. But it is a very Irish-looking family, isn't it? If you were abroad and you were shown something in a book, you would immediately know they're an Irish family, right? And that's fine. They live in a thatched cottage. They have cows in the garden. The father has a shillelagh. Or is that a shillelagh in his hand or something? Yeah, it looks like a shillelagh. You know, they eat cabbage and bacon. They go to the Fla Ceoil. They have cattle and all sorts of things. And, oh yeah, they watch RTE, the late late show, and then it goes on in the same paragraph to say they don't really accept other diversities, they don't appreciate it, they don't accept other religions, and that they're very kind of nasty, mean-spirited individuals. Their family will never be allowed to work, or the kids will never be allowed to work anywhere apart from on the farm and all, and it makes them out to be really, really nasty people. Whereas family B are, you know, as you'll see, mixed race family. It looks like there's kind of Asian, African, I don't know what else is in there. Romanian thing is mentioned as well. And all of a sudden, they volunteer. They help World Aid around the war, and there's wars on. They're nice people. They have smartphones. They wear funky square glasses. You know, they eat pizza. They're cool, aren't they? Look at them. They're celebrating and they're smiling. Whereas the Irish family look bleeding miserable. So, I mean, which one are you going to pick? And they're asking the kids to compare them and why they would pick for family B. In other words, there's a lot of good stuff about family A, which is our culture, but there's a lot of bad stuff in there mixed in with it. Whereas family B are this wonderful, diverse family from all over the world having a great time with their smartphones and funky square glasses and pizzas. So, of course, the child is going to pick family B and going to go, Jesus, being Irish is really shit, isn't it? Look how shit we are. And people are saying, you know, the Irish government clearly hate the Irish and they hate our culture. And it's been eroded slowly but surely. And you can't deny it when you see that shit. Okay, anyway, the number is 085 100 22 55. That's 085 100 22 55. That was the radio station number I was going to give you there. Aaron, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Good. Aaron, have you seen these two pictures from the book, yeah?
I have indeed, yeah. It's very interesting listening to yourself and Niamh as always there as well, a great discussion. I had to dive on today, Niall, when I saw the topic, because I don't want to go off the book, but you were aware of the Sovereign Voyage that took place last year with Andy Heaton and Ross Lahive. I managed to join it myself for 10 days, highlighting books in libraries, yeah?
I remember that, yeah, the Juno Dawson book, yeah, yeah. This book
correct.
Is gay,
and
yeah.
Yes, that book specifically, along with two or three others, but I'm glad you mentioned it, I wasn't going to. But that specific book, when you're speaking about these books and this type of, I suppose, education being brought into our into the curriculum and into our schools for very young children, you're mentioning around the first year category there in the secondary school. But when you go into the libraries, I'm glad to hear that the likes of established journalists like Ben Scanlon are going to be speaking about this pornographic material that is appearing in books in the education system and in libraries that can be accessed by 8, 10, 12-year-old students. And this riles me up completely. I have two young children myself, and I'm aware of changes to their own curriculum, even at a primary school level, that I'm actually starting to see, Niall. And I'm taking reference from the Sovereign Voyage because we met quite a lot of teachers along the way there. And the teachers were actually unaware. And I'm hearing even now that up until 2 to 3 weeks before the start of school, the teachers are not aware of what they will actually be teaching the children.
Now, the book you're referring to, by the way, the Judith Awesome one, but is actually on the what they call the reading list called the Rainbow Reads, right? Which is recommended by the NCCA, the Irish NCCA. And this particular book, by the way, talks about hand jobs, blow jobs, anal sex, masturbation. What else it talks about and how it feels for men who are gay and blah 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 blah. Go with blowjobs and how to give a blowjob. Now
it does.
Now these books are recommended by Rainbow Reads, by the way, by the NCCA to secondary school children, which is anything over the age of 12, 13 years of age, which is quite kind of crazy. I wouldn't want my 12-year-old reading something like that.
Absolutely, and neither would I. But you've used some words there, and I suppose I don't want to be rude myself, but it speaks about exactly how to give, I suppose, oral pleasure to someone, male or female. And actually, one of the biggest things for me, I brought it up. It's well documented. I had a very good conversation with a guard in Longford. It was actually filmed about a year ago. And the guard actually took a number, but he was actually chastised or disciplined, for the use of a better word, by a senior officer. And what it was that I was bringing to his attention, Niall, was inside in the book that we are both discussing here, This Book Is Gay, it speaks about how to actually access the lesbian, gay and bi app called Grindr.
Right, that's right, yeah. Yeah, and how to use Grindr. Yeah, to a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, yeah.
How is this allowed? And if correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that you have to be over 18 to access these adult dating apps.
Well, I would imagine so. Look, you know, this book, if that's what you want, you know, it was written by a transgender individual. If this book is what you want and you're over 18, you fire away, do whatever you want. I couldn't care less because I'm not one for censorship. But if you're under the age of 18, you know, we have a duty and a responsibility to children to know exactly what they're reading. Leaving aside the pornographic element of all of this, you know, and by the way, just to mention for people who think that Una Dawson book is not on the curriculum, so just to clarify, but it is down as a recommended read by Rainbow Reads by the NCCA, right? So it is down as a recommended read for children. But in relation to the other aspect of it, which is this what they call critical race theory, which this idea that Irish culture is kind of backwards and, you know, misogynistic and it's, you know, it's racist and we're not really accepting of diversity. And I mean, should that be withdrawn? Should this book be withdrawn?
I absolutely think it should. And getting back to the point that your show topic is about today, Niall, the book should be withdrawn. The book is, I'm absolutely dismayed by the lack of harmony in this country at the moment. I'm dismayed by our own government, you know, that is absolutely trouncing our own culture or going along with this so-called woke agenda or this Western European approach that all of these countries have to change and have to change rapidly. This country has changed rapidly since I've turned 18, and that was, 14, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are rapidly changing for decline. This isn't progression. And, you know, we want to keep innocence of children, hence why we're talking this topic today. But however, the main question and topic of the show, I suppose, is our culture even being attacked by our own government? And I feel as though that it is. The last time I was on for discussion, which I believe over a week ago, we were discussing, I suppose, plans that were coming from Europe or Brussels or not, or did our government know about it? Are they puppets for Europe? We don't know anymore. I just genuinely don't feel as though that our culture, our heritage and traditions and the values of this country are being thoroughly represented by our current elected officials. I certainly feel as though that they are being influenced, or there is a sense of an agenda or a wokeness that just seems to have widespread waved across Western Europe. And we see this in many other countries around Europe, Niall, that this is just slowly becoming the norm. But this isn't normal. What we've just discussed for the previous 3 or 4 minutes is not normal. To have 8, 9, 10, 12-year-olds accessing this type of material. When I was growing up, there were shows on Bravo or Trouble and Eurotrash or this kind of thing, Niall. When I was growing up on the television, mightn't be on till 10 o'clock and you might see a bare-breasted lady or someone in a bikini.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you have the likes of, I don't want to be mentioning artists now, but a beautiful artist when she was growing up, Miley Cyrus, I reference for a second here. I'm sure most people will know who she is. But then all of a sudden, we see the sexualization of these young idols. We see a big Britney Spears, another I could throw out there. You know, I'm starting to see that it's just becoming widespread. It's becoming a part of our
I think a big part of the problem, Aaron, and I have loads of people to get to here, is smartphones. And that, by the way, that's not the government's fault. That's the parents' fault. And we do need to tighten up, and parents need to tighten up when it comes to smartphones. I don't believe smartphones should be available to anybody under the age of 16 because there's just too much availability. They do talk about the reason we have to teach pornography is they're going to see it on smartphones, and children have access to pornography at an earlier in life than we would have had. But I blame the parents in that. And parents, you know, you have a duty and a responsibility to make sure that your child doesn't have that kind of access. But Aaron, do me a favour, stay there if you can. I have a lot of people to get to, and I want to try and give everybody an equal amount of time if I can to some degree. I want to go to Jana London as well, and Jana has written an awful lot about this for the Natural Women's Council. Jana, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall.
How are you? Jana, let's just focus on the Irish family, or Family A and Family B. We spoke to Nivi Breen there from Grip Media, and we've had the two pictures up on the screen of the two families. It kind of suggests that if you're Irish, you're racist.
Yes, the anti-Irish anti-culture is absolutely horrific. It should not be in any place in school, particularly in schools here in Ireland. And I'm delighted that this book is getting exposed, but as delighted as I am that this one is getting exposed, I'm quite angry that there's other books that are much worse and that this could be a limited hangout and a distraction. But what lurks behind this book is 100 times worse, and we're going to be exposing some of that content, including the Secrecy Pact podcast I did last night. So children will be asked to keep secrets from their mommies and daddies as well, which is a serious child safeguarding risk. So it's great this book's getting attention, but
this is obviously very similar to the legislation they've just brought in California in relation to education, where, you know, parents, or should I say teachers, can keep secrets from parents in relation to gender ideology and all sorts of carry on. I've seen that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this book, Niall, is, I mean, this is racism against the Irish. I've lived in Ireland over 22 years. I love Ireland. I came here and stayed here because I love everything Irish and the culture. I came over and wanted to immerse myself in the beautiful culture here and to actually take the piss and make fun of Irish people as depicted in that school book is utterly disgusting from an American.
What it's kind of saying is, if you're traditionally Irish, you know, and you eat bacon and cabbage, and you wear an Aran jumper, and you live on a farm, and you have cows, and you go to the Fla Ceoil and all that. Well, then hand in hand with that, you know, you must obviously be a racist. You don't like diversity. You can't accept other religions, and you're bigoted. That's kind of what it's saying.
Disgusting. And they even added the old tree in the background, the tree that was chopped up to say, oh, dumb Paddy can't even prune a tree. I mean, they really hit every possible negative thing to really put down the Irish.
My problem is they're asking kids to compare the two families. Clearly the other family, you know, with a, you know, Asian person, African person, whatever, Romanian, I think, is another person, you know, who obviously eat pizza. They volunteer for the Red Cross. They have smartphones. They're cool. They go all over the world.
Progressive.
They're clearly the better family to be with. The Irish are clearly not the family to be with here, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that if I had a choice which family I'd want my children to spend time with, I'd have no problem with them spending time on an Irish farm near a thatched roof cottage with people who are Irish dancing and playing Irish sports. So, yeah. You know, there you go. But what I
So, Jana, in relation to what's going to happen, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to speak to you for a longer period. I think we'll have to do a special just with you in relation to everything else that you've uncovered, because we don't have time for all of that today, right? But so I'd be happy to do that with you someday if you want to. But in relation to, say, this book, what has been the reaction? Has there been any comments? As far as Niamh is concerned, and from what she's aware, there's been no comment from the Minister for Education in relation to this book. There's been no suggestion so far. It's been withdrawn. I'm telling all parents now listening today, when your kids come home, if they just started secondary school or they're in secondary school, remove this book from their bag and put a note in that they can hand into the class saying your children will not be reading this book until it's withdrawn. If enough parents do that, they'll have to withdraw it.
And I'll comment on Norma Foley, because these books, just to let the listeners know, we've dug into the sign-off process and we went to Norma Foley with some complaints about a book. For example, the book that has the red cover that has 8 pages on masturbation. And we complained to Norma Foley about the book. She pointed to the NCCA and said, it's them over there. We went to the NCCA. They pointed to the publishers. So it's absolutely shocking that there's no sign-off and no accountability by Norma Foley for the content kids are seeing. They're telling parents to call the publishers. Norma Foley should resign immediately for not having these due diligence in process to protect
children. You would imagine the Minister for Education would have at least had a flick through the book to have a look and see what was in it, or had, even at best, have an advisor look at it and say, well, here, look, I don't have time today. I'm off 40 meetings. Will you look through that book? Tell me if there's any red flags in it, anything concerning that you see in it before we sign off on it. You would imagine that would be the case, wouldn't you?
One would assume. I worked in corporate life for 20 years, and there was a robust sign-off process on every process and procedure. So for Norma Foley to say it's not her fault that our kids are reading about 8 pages of masturbation and the things that the other man referenced about handies and blowies and anti-Irish, anti-this and that, shame on Norma for not having control over what material goes out. The Department of Education is where the buck stops with.
Well, look, if people want to know more about it, we are going to do a more in-depth interview with yourself, Jana. But if they want to go to your podcast as well, they can get it on YouTube, The Natural Women's Council. The name of your podcast again, Jana?
Yeah, if they go to naturalwomenscouncil.ie, the YouTube channel, the one to really watch this week is the Back to School Refresher, which packs a whole lot of info on what kids are seeing in the Back to School Refresher. And then last night's podcast, Are Your Children Being Asked to Keep Secrets from Parents, is a real eye-opener. Every parent, whether they're left, right, or the middle, should be concerned that teachers are asking them to keep secrets from their parents. So those two are a good start.
Okay, well, listen, Jana, thank you very much indeed, and we shall talk to you again. Thank you so much.
That's great. Speak to you soon. Thanks, Niall.
Let me just go to Dermot. Dermot, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall? Thank you for the opportunity for letting me speak on this. I kind of have something a bit different to bring to the table. From the moment I seen that book, like, I have a six-year-old that's in school at the moment, and I'm quite concerned with the content that's, like, we're seeing being produced inside in the schools these days. Mm-hmm. But just even from looking at the cover of that book, I noticed that even the little bubbles that are coloured, it's very representative of the Sustainable Development Goals. Now, if you look at the SDGs that are set out by the UN, number 4 is the SDG that is responsible for education in our school system. So, onto the UN website and it breaks down the SDGs. Target 4.7, which is under the education, is education for sustainable development as a global citizenship. So when you're looking at the old Paddy Irish family being compared in a derogatory way against another global citizen, it's not hard to imagine that this has been influenced by UN sustainable development goals. This is what our government is signing up for. This is what we've been sold out for.
Now we do even under, because people have said to me at the time when I was running for election in relation to education, The EU have no control over Irish education. For people who think the EU have something to do with this, we have complete control over our own curriculum. So we decide what goes into our own curriculum. Now, obviously, you mentioned the UN and the UN Charter, and obviously there's recommendations from the UN and the WHO and other organisations as well, think-ins, as they call them, as to what we should and shouldn't have in our education system. But that's entirely up to politicians, entirely up to the Department of Education as to what they put in. So there's nobody telling us we have to do this, but you can see there's certainly influences going on.
There are completely influences going on. And if you read down through all these points, another is eliminate all discrimination in education, which on the surface sounds fantastic, but the way they're going about eliminating discrimination is in education is to make us all this kind of bland global citizen that we don't have really an identity anymore, so there's no need for discrimination because we're all just one big global culture that we share the planet. Our culture and our heritage and the values of being Irish are just been eliminated in the face of equality, you could say, because equality isn't equality anymore. Equality is kind of let's paint everything with the same brush, because if we're all color gray, we can't really be.
And you know what? There's no harm in telling kids, you know, you're a global citizen, because of course the world, you know, has become a much closer place. Everywhere is accessible. It wouldn't have been 30 or 40 years ago with the internet. Nowadays, we all have access to different cultures and we interact with different cultures. So there's no harm in saying, look, you're a global citizen. But you know, our own culture and our own identity has to be the most important thing, and still has to be the most important thing.
Absolutely, 100%. And the very next point, SPG number 5, is gender equality. So that brings me on to the second part of it.
Mm.
The whole gender equality thing now has been pushed in schools under number 5 of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. This gender equality, again, it's an attack on identity. It's erasing what a man is, a provider of a family, or a woman, the person who makes a beautiful home to come home to in the evening, and the whole family.
I know some people might say that's a traditional role. And by the way, some people still have those traditional values, and that's fine too. You know, but I don't mock the idea of gender equality. But what I do mock the idea of is telling people or telling children they can be anything they want to be.
Absolutely, but if you erase the whole notion of gender, it's easy to make everything equal, but it's disenfranchising for people. I think it's erasing morality in a certain way. So, like, if we don't really realise who we are and the strength that we have and what we can bring to this planet, it's just you fall into this easily controlled role where I suppose they can teach anything. Anything's game now. Like, there's no moral robustness about us anymore.
Okay.
Because we don't have a cultural identity, we don't have a gender identity.
Okay.
And to have this inside in schools, like, it's criminal. I think there's Child Protection Acts and everything there to keep gender identity and all of this nonsense that they're teaching in schools away from children.
Okay, well, listen, well said. Thank you very much indeed, Dermot. I'm sorry I have to get through everybody. By the way, a lot of people are asking what the name of the book is, because I don't think anyone mentioned the name of the book. It's called New Health and Wellbeing, SPHE1. So it's called New Health and Wellbeing, SPHE1. By the way, I'm not telling parents what to do. Somebody says, I have no right to tell parents what to do. I'm not telling anybody what to do. But have a quick look in your child's school bag. It's really important, by the way, that you look at your child's school books, you know, and take an interest in what they're actually learning. Have a look at the book. You decide whether you want your child reading that nonsense. I certainly wouldn't want my child. And if it was my child, I'd be removing the book from their bag and replacing it with a note telling the teacher that they won't be using the book again until it's withdrawn and replaced. Let me go to Edward. I've got to go to Edward next. Edward, hi, how are you?
Had a very good afternoon, Niall. That summary of Irish culture, when I saw it, it was sent to me the other day, I thought it was a piss take.
I thought somebody had photoshopped it and it was a joke, and I said, I'm not going to get sucked into this one in case I'm wrong. And it turned out it was real.
I read about one third of it and I just stopped and I said, I'm not reading any more of this. It's utter nonsense. I mean, this summary of an Irish family is like a warning advisory from the 1800s. It's so far removed from who we are. It's incredible to think that anyone with a screed of intelligence signed off on that. perpetuating the myth that they were all mad ginger leprechauns who need to be lured out of the mountains with pieces of raw meat and bowls of poutine is deeply offensive.
Mm.
It makes us look like a thick bunch of heckin' woolly jumpers.
We're all bigots and racists as well, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, years ago, and I'll give you a case in point. Years ago, I was in Blackrock Park with my daughter, flying a kite, okay? And some yank who was sitting on the bench heard me chatting to her, and he came up to me and said, are you flying a kite? I said, no, I'm fishing for seagulls. What the hell is this thing up to? That can no.
Fishing for seagulls.
Yeah, fishing for seagulls. And I said, what a stupid question. It's quite obvious what I was doing, but because I was Irish and because I was flying a kite, he thought I must be a bit thick and need some help. But look, we don't have bacon and cabbage and potatoes every day. Right? I haven't had that in over 6 months now, have you?
No. I haven't had bacon. I've had bacon. I haven't had cabbage.
Or that we all this xenophobic nonsense that we all sit around waiting for the late show.
And we only like Irish music and the flack, y'all. We don't like anything else. We don't watch Hollywood movies, of course, because we're not allowed to. Our parents don't approve of it. You know what I mean? But the other family are great. Should they volunteer to the Red Cross? They have smartphones and, you know, they have cool glasses on them and they're all, you know, which I find odd. They're all one family, but each one of them look like a different nationality, which is kind of odd. But they're certainly the cooler of the two families anyway. So if a child was sitting there at 12 or 13 years of age, I know which one they're going to pick. They're not going to pick this doddery old Irish family, are they, anymore? Because they're made out to be rotten people. You know what I mean?
But I mean, look, we have to take a certain amount of responsibility for perpetuating that myth that we're all as thick as beans, you know. And I even do it with the Yanks. Every time they come over, or every time I get into the company of the Yanks, I tell them the same old story. My grandfather emigrated to Boston, and he knew the exact day he was going to die. I said a judge told him, and they take that very seriously, you know, and they believe it, you know.
Should the book be withdrawn?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat. Mm. It's defamatory. It's racist. It is non-representative of any part of a very intelligent, smart culture that we are. We are nothing like how we're being portrayed in that book. And for children to be fed that fodder and that nonsense, you might as well give them another double dose of the Bible. And you know how I feel about that.
Mm.
All right.
Okay, Edward. Listen, unfortunately, I'm kind of trying to rush through everybody. But listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi. How are you? How you doing, Bernie? I don't think nobody's going to come on today and say this is a great book, by the way. Nobody is going to come on and say this is a great book.
No, and I think it should be taken off the it should be taken out of the bags this evening before they leave the school. I think it's terrible that they're still actually even talking about it. They've gone on about it for 2 days. Take it out. It should never. Who is responsible? Sack them.
But what I find odd, and Niamh pointed this out at the start from Good Media, they didn't have this chapter in the Irish version of the book because they knew that if they had released that in rural Ireland where they speak Irish, where most likely the Irish version would have been sold, or certainly in the Gaelic schools, there would have been murder over it. But they felt they would have got away with it in the kind of cities or for the city folk that we would have accepted this a bit better.
That's an insult to everybody. It's insulted the whole country. Ireland is not just based in rural Ireland. It's all of Ireland.
Mm.
We're all Irish.
But by the way, there's nothing wrong with a lot of the stuff in it. Like, you know, what harm is it that we do like bacon and cabbage, or that we play hurling, or we like the flakiole, or, you know. But then it mixes it up then.
I wore Irish jumpers. I learned Irish dancing because I wanted to learn my culture. That's what my culture was based in. What is wrong with that?
Yeah, what they do then is they suggest that the person who likes all of that stuff also is bigoted, racist, doesn't accept diversity, doesn't accept differences in religion, you know, and that we're basically horrible, horrible people.
But there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's all wrong. Like, I am proud of my culture. I'm delighted. I'd love to learn the iron stitches that are out there. They're amazing how the women came, the lace making that went on here. That's not anything to be ashamed of. I'm actually really proud of it. Mm. I'm also proud of my Irish dancing skills. I don't have many of them, but I'm glad I learned it. It's part of my culture again. I mean, I didn't learn about Zumba classes or anything like that. I've done Irish dancing as best I could. Mm. What's wrong with that? Like, why is it that and RTÉ was the only friggin' station we had back in the 60s. It wasn't like we were Neanderthals. We just couldn't. There was nothing else.
Yeah, but here's the thing about RTÉ. This story won't be covered in RTÉ.
No, it won't. And, you know, None of it. It'll be covered nowhere. I mean, Norma Foley is absolutely disgraceful that she allowed this into the curriculum of our children. She's the Minister for Education. She should have read over this like a fine-tooth comb and got the people who have written it out and, you know, said, this is not acceptable, go back.
Well, that's what I said earlier on. You would imagine somebody read it in the Department of Education. But it seems, according to Jana London, she already asked Norma Foley's department. They sent her to the NCCA and the NCCA sent her to the publisher. None of them seem to have known this was in it. Well,
it's like describing a medication that you're going to give somebody and you don't give the contraindications and, you know, what you... It's wrong. You've given the wrong impression to our children and you should be held responsible for that. That is wrong. Our children are not... None of us are like that.
No. No.
None of us are ever like that. Ever. We all looked out for each other. We all did our thing. We all share the burden. We all knitted cardigans because we were happy to do it. It was part of our who we were. We passed on. There's nothing to be ashamed of. People all over the world knit.
But even looking at the picture, you know, that's underneath. I don't know whether I put it up on the screen there again. it shows that the cow is even looking at the family with contempt. The tree isn't even cut properly. And I know this, Sam, but this is what they mentioned, or somebody said in an interview. It's all quite subliminal, right? Even the cat has given them a dirty look. You know, the cat on the ground has given them all a dirty look. And then the kids, that one of them is like, he's kind of cross-eyed with the tongue hanging out doing the Irish dancing. They look like there's something wrong with them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like they're imbeciles. You know what I mean?
So, or they're inbreeding or something.
Like yeah, and that's exactly, to be honest with you, when you look at the mother, the father and the kids, they all have the same eyes, the same head of hair. There's some sort of inbreeding going on there. Whereas you look at the other diverse family and look at them. Look at their clothes even. They look so cool, so trendy. They're having a great time. They're all smiling their brains off, you know, and they're in Athens or somewhere where, I don't know, with a suitcase in their hand. In other words, they travel the world and they're great and they've got smartphones and they're cool. You know what I mean?
But I'd like to know, Niall, who is responsible for it? Where is the person who's held accountable for this? Where are they? Do we know who they are?
Well, we know who the author of the book is. But now, mind you, the author of the book, see, people are having a go at the author of the book, right? And the author of the book, by the way, is Ann Potts and Nulig O'Grady, right? They're the authors of the book. But it's not their fault. They wrote it, okay? Now, you can argue that they were wrong to do this. That's fine. But that has to be passed by somebody. So the blame lies squarely with the Department of Education and the NCCA, who are the people who decide what's on the curriculum. That's who the blame lies with. Because if I wrote a book of mad stuff and said, right, I'm going to see, can I get kids to read this in school? You know, it's not up. I could write the mad stuff, but it's up to the Department of Education to prove it. So it doesn't matter who wrote it. It's kind of, people can argue over who wrote it. It's irrelevant. That's obviously their opinion and their mad opinion. I don't agree with it. But I mean, it's up to the Department of Education to approve it.
But I mean, where do they get their information from? Where's their accountability for what they've done? That is serious harm to a nation of Irish people. That's serious harm to young and old Irish people all across the nation, all across the world. It should. I mean, why are they allowed to get away with it? They weren't responsible. They are 100% responsible.
Thank you for that, Bernie. Let me go to Tara. Tara, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are things?
Good.
I'm going to defend the authors here because I ghostwrite books for a living, so I can explain the internal process and how it generally works. And I'm telling you now, someone was specifically told to include that exercise. And I don't believe the authors are responsible because the reality is that the paragraph would never have made it past the editor and the publisher unless the publisher specifically wanted or was told.
But this is what I said. This is why I said don't blame the authors. They're just doing what they're told, or that's their own ideas or whatever. It's up to the people who approve it. They're ones that's to blame here.
And the illustrator would have been told what to draw. But the authors will be thrown under the bus for this because they likely would have had to sign off on it before it went to print. Now, it may differ with, usually the author has to sign off on a manuscript before it goes to print, but that may differ when it comes to state school books. So it's likely possibly someone in the Department of Education who may have had to sign off on it as well as the authors. So you need to look for the contract as to who signed off on it for it to go to print. That's then when you find out who's actually the one to be held accountable. But the Department of Education, they're clearly trying to convince children that being traditionally Irish is something to be ashamed of. And it's like they're setting the foundation to brainwash kids into thinking that what's going on at the moment with immigration, let's call it what it is, human trafficking, that it's acceptable when it's not. And it's like they're trying to ensure that these future adults won't question this type of carry-on. And you know what? That level of desperation is actually a positive sign, because it shows that the adults of today are getting to them. The government say they're not affected by the protests and that it won't change anything, but yet they're resorting to stunts like this and the hate speech laws.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are saying this is racist. That it's certainly it depicts the Irish family as being racist. In other words, if you like everything that's Irish, that's kind of shown in this with the bacon and cabbage and the RTE or the flak owl, you must be bigoted.
It's not even so much that if you know it's the fact, it's the context, it's the fact that it references the Irish dancing, flak loving, potato bacon cabbage eating family. They reference that in the same context as not being allowed to watch foreign games or interact with people of different religions, and not having relations living abroad, or not being allowed to watch Hollywood films. That's so exaggerated, and it's factually incorrect. And I don't know anyone who would know of any Irish family where the latter would apply. And in that illustration, why is one of them wearing a kilt? All of this is completely inaccurate.
Well, when you say a kilt, it's meant to be an Irish dancing dress, isn't it? I imagine.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, but somebody pointed out something to me, and I'm just looking here now. You know, they all have these kind of mad googly eyes, spinny eyes, and their tongues hanging out. And they all, they do kind of look inbred. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But there's so many different elements to this. There's the illustrator, there's the author, there's the publisher, there's the editor, there's the Department of Education. Too many people were involved for this to have been anything other than deliberate. This was deliberately included to make the Irish look bad and to make it seem like you're wrong for wanting to protect your culture or for enjoying your culture, and that the people from other cultures, well, what they do is acceptable, but you're not acceptable.
Yeah. No, you are 100% right. It is making our culture unacceptable to young children. Thank you, Tara, for that. Let me go to, who's next? Tony, hi, how are you?
Hello, Noel. How are you?
Good, Tony. Have you seen the book?
I have, Noel, and I'm in the same camp as yourself. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't real when I looked at Lion Forest and I saw it, yeah.
This is 100%. This is not acceptable at all. Not one little bit. And as for Norma Foley passing this and not commenting on it, it's per usual. They won't answer questions. You could get Helen McEntee, Roderick O'Gorman, Simon Harris. They'll all give you the same spiel. It's just not acceptable at all. I mean, if you really want this, for to put an Irish man up as being weak and effeminate and everything like that, stick a picture of Simon Harris up. He must be the weakest leader in the world.
Okay. You don't like him. Fair enough. In relation, let's stick to the book in itself. Do you think it's fair to give this to children? Do you believe it should be withdrawn?
Definitely. It should be banned. It should be banned. Don't mind withdrawn. It should be banned altogether.
I don't believe any book should ever be banned. But I mean, you have a choice to buy a book if you want to buy a book. But I mean, there's lots of books out there I certainly wouldn't, you know, cross the road to see. But whether they should be banned or not.
Who wrote this?
Well, the point is, it's irrelevant who wrote it, because they were asked to write it.
No, hold on.
There's no point in people having a go at the authors of the book. No point. Because they didn't put it into kids' school bags. The Department of Education are the ones that approve it. If it was if it was that bad, the Department of Education shouldn't have approved it.
Yeah, but the Department of Education, like all other institutions in Ireland, has been infiltrated by extreme left-wing wokies. Every single institution seems to be infiltrated by them and easily influenced by them, because anyone who goes to speak out is just vilified in the media.
Mm-hmm. No.
All the far racist and a bigot and everything else.
No, the book is more or less essentially saying if you're Irish and you have these Irish traditions, you must be a bigot. That's what the book is kind of saying.
Right, okay, look, and Roderick O'Gorman, like, has he commented on the book?
Now, why would he?
He's the minister for...
That wouldn't be his department. It wouldn't be his department. It's the Minister for Education's department.
On the book.
Yeah, but it's the Minister for Education's department. It's not Roderick O'Gorman's department.
And Noel, I'm not joking you. We have the weakest share of men that's ever run this country, and the women in government are even weaker, with the exception probably of Carol Nolan, Sharon Keoghan in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not joking. They are absolutely appalling. But, like, the women are every bit as bad, if not worse.
Yep, they don't seem to want to stand up, Tony, do they? Let me go to Stuart as well. Sorry, I have to get two people really quickly because I'm running out of time rapidly here. Stuart, hi, how are you?
Hi,
good, Stuart. You were a teacher You're an osteopath by profession.
I've gone abroad previously, and I've had many other professions. I also farm part-time. I suppose we could start with the imagery there. What we're seeing here is, and finally, and it's great to see all the conversation progressing on from just the sexual content in the SPHE. For over 2 years, we've been focusing heavily, purely on the sexual content, and we've missed everything else that's been slipped in to the education system. Now, 2 years ago, there was a text written, a 10,000 words text, Substack written, by somebody highlighting that the Irish government, with the NCCA, looked to America for a educational model and structure, which has, this is all based on. Now, we all know that, and anybody is paying any attention, that the American education system is in free fall. And their secondary, their higher level education is also in free fall. Their major universities are turning into radical activist factions where students are refusing to sit exams because their ethnicity in the past didn't write, or the students are attacking professors for their opinions, calling them racist, calling them xenophobes, etc., etc. So that has been adopted by the NCCA in Ireland. This is what's to blame for this.
Do you refer to this, Stuart, as critical race theory? Is this part of critical
race? No, it's not critical race theory.
If you're Irish, you're a racist.
Let me explain. Critical race theory is part of it, but it's actual critical theory, which you can apply. It's a philosophy that you can apply to race, to sex, to gender, to anything you want, to environmentalism. It's applied right across the board. And it's basically a neo-Marxist philosophy applied to everything. So there's an oppressor and oppressed. So as you can see, family A is an oppressive family. Category B is are the oppressed. They would be considered the oppressed family by category A through the eyes of a critical race theorist. Okay?
Yeah.
But we also have critical feminists theory being applied to the same books. So we took our kid's book out last night. He's a second year in secondary school, and it's a different SPHE book. Now, it's not as drastic and obvious as that depiction. That's almost a perfect example of what's known as critical pedagogy. Critical pedagogy is a teaching philosophy created by a Marxist, a neo-Marxist called Paulo Freire from Brazil. He believed that we can use certain themes to create a consciousness in society of the oppressed and the oppressor, and to use that to deconstruct society. So he was very popular in the US in the 80s, and his teaching philosophy is probably one of the most highly influential philosophies in all of Western educational colleges at the moment. He's heavily praised by Michael D. Higgins, heavily praised by NCCA staff, heavily referenced by certain senators who are sitting on Oireachtas committees who are influencing the education system. And if you do go to the Oireachtas committees on diversity and inclusion, okay, when they talk to the NCCA, you can see.
Okay, but I'm pushed for time, Stuart. So, who is ultimately responsible for this? The Department of Education, not the authors, obviously, because they're just told what to do.
The structure was put forward by the NCCA, and then the authors just followed the structure.
Yeah.
And they would probably. Yeah.
So, but Norma Foley was written to has nothing to say about it. She's passed it on to the NCCA, and the NCCA and Nev now passed it on to the publisher, saying that we wait for comments from them.
Do you think Nora has the intellect to even engage it?
But it doesn't take a huge amount of intellect for anybody, because the first thing I saw when I saw the picture the other day on Twitter, somebody put up a photograph, I thought it was a joke. I thought it wasn't real. I thought someone had photoshopped it. I said, that couldn't be real. So surely if the Department of Education seen it, they would have thought exactly the same thing. This couldn't be real.
Well, there's irony that a big section of the book is all about stereotyping. And this is the most extreme version of stereotyping of an Irish person. Only an American director could come up with that vision of an Irish person, you know?
Yeah, it's like something out of Into the West or something like that. Stuart, thank you for that. Listen, I got to go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm shocked because, I'm kind of shocked, but I knew that there was stuff coming down the line and I'd be following Jana London there in relation to a lot of this and
yeah, more. Well, I was thinking more of the sexual. Yeah, the sexual aspect of it. I was more concerned about. I wasn't expecting this one.
Oh no, I was expecting it because our culture, our religion, everything that we stand for here in Ireland is being attacked. Everything, you know, the moral compass is gone out the window. It's incredible. But I will be asking for my lad when he comes. From school and that, and I'd be seeing, is he bringing that book home? Because I've rang two or three parents and they say that book does not come home. So I'm wondering what's going on there. Is it the fact that they're keeping that book in the schools and not allowing the kids to bring them home as the parent for the parents to see them? Now, it's in some schools that is happening. So it's very, very sinister and very.
But I mean, look what it says about the Irish family. We don't accept foreign games. They're not permitted. I mean, that's nonsense. Most Irish families watch soccer.
That's a pure.
You know what I mean?
It's completely biased. It's trying to change people's opinion. You know, if they do Irish dancing or if they eat bacon and cabbage. And I do. I do that once every a couple of weeks or whatever.
I haven't had cabbage in years, mind you.
Good for you. Good for your blood.
Yeah,
good
and it says the only movies we get to see are Irish ones. None of that Hollywood rubbish for us. Nope. I've never heard that in like it.
It's completely stereotyping. And as your last caller says, exactly what the American, it's coming straight from America for someone who's thinking that this is what we all are. I eat bacon and cabbage and I'll go and have an Indian. I'll have a Chinese. I love Italian food. I love every different, you know, so many different types of food. You know, but they're stereotyping and making the kids seem, oh, I can't be cool. You know, I won't be cool now if I'm doing this or if I'm, you know, getting involved in playing GAA games or if I'm doing Irish dancing or playing music.
Yeah.
It's that book has to be taken out of the schools straight away. That it should not, it should never have been allowed to be put in there in the first
place. Well, it makes us out to be a bunch of ticks. You know what I mean? And Neanderthal and, you know, racist. And like it says here, we do not like change or difference. All our family members are Irish. Well, generally speaking, if they are an Irish family, they usually always are Irish, right? Anyway, nearly always. Anyway, we do not have a single relation living abroad or anyone from another country in our family. I mean, that's more or less saying we're a bunch of racists. We have a family business. It's expected we'll all join it when we finish school. Noreen would love to be a yoga instructor. I'm assuming that's the daughter. But my dad said it's not a proper job and she has to stick to what she knows. We eat Irish food and have potatoes, bacon and cabbage every day because it's a tradition. Our holidays are spent touring Ireland. We all play Irish musical instruments. There's nothing wrong with that. Going to Flakiol every summer. Sean wants to learn the drums and the steel guitar. But Mam said no because there's lots of great Irish instruments. We love sport and we're only allowed to play hurling, handball or Gaelic football. No foreign games are permitted. I mean, this is bollocksology. I mean, it really and truly is. I've never said it's garbage. Think,
any parents that are listening to this, ask to see that book. Get, you know, if it's in the school bag, take it out and read it. You need to look at this and look at the whole gender thing as well. But, you know, you have to. Parents have to take responsibility here. They're saying, oh, people are saying, oh, no, that's not good. But you have to do something about it. I'll be, you know, once I get to see that book and I get it into my hands and that I physically see that it is in our school here, well, then I'll be putting in an email and I'll be saying exactly what I think of it.
Well, I do insist that I don't insist that you can do what you want, but if it was me, I would be taking it off my child and I would be saying, you're not going back into school with that book. And I'd give them a note to give to the teacher as to why they won't be going back into school with that book. Thank you for that. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time here rapidly, Jackie, and I do apologise for rushing everybody. Just to mention, by the way, in relation to Irish people not liking Hollywood movies, statistically, Irish people, by the way, go to the cinema more than any other population. Before COVID-19 pandemic, cinema attendance in Ireland typically ranged from 15 to 16 million admissions annually. This figure represents the number of times people went to the cinema throughout the year, indicating a strong and steady interest in the cinema amongst the Irish population. And I can tell you now, they were Hollywood movies. They weren't all Irish movies. Let me go to Don. Don, hi, how are you?
How's it going? You use that brilliant word, bollocksology. I'm going to be using that more often in the future. The thing about this book is, if this was published in America or another Western country, you'd call it racism, plain and simple.
Well, you would, yeah. They're stereotyping the Irish, yeah.
Like imagine if that was Jewish people or Africans or something like that. Like, you know, people would be going absolutely mental. But because it's an Irish person, probably an Irish person in the government department putting this out, I could only call it bigotry, which is like racism, like bigotry against those of us who are traditional. Like, I speak a couple focal. I'm not going to spend 500 quid seeing Oasis when I can see Inland Pipes for free. Mm. So this has me absolutely enraged at why is our own government that I pay taxes to, that don't provide me any proxy services, by the way, why are they putting out anti-Irish propaganda, anti-traditional Irish propaganda? It's just like, I don't know what a hate crime is, but I'm pretty sure that's a hate crime.
Well, maybe actually under the new hate speech legislation, somebody can make a complaint about it, about the Department of Education approving this. Again, I say it's not the author's fault. They're just being told what to do, or the illustrator, because the illustration is appalling, by the way, but they're just being told what to do. So it's not up to them. It's the Department of Education and the NCCA, or the NCCA. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't exactly know what a hate crime is, but I did I did go to the Garda yesterday to learn about what a hate crime is. And I don't know what a hate crime is, but I know that you can go to your local Garda station and report a hate crime, even though I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the reason why I was looking into this, because quite similarly to this book that I found quite offensive, that group, Kneecap, put out a video last night. And I thought it was a funny video. I thought it was meant to be a funny video. It was called Gwelga for Prods. And it sounded funny, so I clicked on it and I watched it.
Okay, there's no, Dan, with the greatest respect, there's no point in you talking about the video because nobody else has seen it, so unfortunately we all can't comment on it. But I get the point that you're making, that you obviously didn't like it. But sticking with the book, do you believe it should be withdrawn?
Yeah, we should go to the guards and report for hate crime. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what a hate crime is, but this must be a hate crime.
All right. Okay, according to Dom, we should all go to the guards and report it as a hate crime against the Irish. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? Yeah, I read the article. I had a look at it while you were on with other people, and it's so not Irish at all. And whoever depicted the cartoon or the characters in it knows nothing about Irish history, because red-headed Irish people only became popular in this country after the Vikings raided and settled here.
Yeah, they all, like, for people who haven't seen it, they all have red hair, yeah. Even the father has a red head and he's a red beard on him.
The whole four of them. Yeah, and like that's from a Viking background.
Now, it looks like, somebody made the point earlier on the right. It looks like they're inbreeding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there you go, man. I mean, to say it's just an insult, and the cow looks like he was after smoking a joint and he's really happy doing his good, you know what I mean? But it's so un-Irish. And then I noticed the derogatory design. The girl at the back of her parents has a little dress on her, and it's in the design of green, white, and orange.
Of the Irish flag.
Yeah, do you see that?
Yeah.
Irish people would never wear their Irish flag around their privates.
No.
So I don't know who the fuck is doing it. But I'll tell you one thing. On the very day, I seen on Twitter people saying, a great day in the parish. And I went, what's this about? Oliver Cromwell died on this day in 1659. Now, there's a guy who tried to eradicate Irish people. It's ironic. On the same day he died all those hundreds of years ago, here's the Irish people turning on themselves and making themselves out to be gobshites.
Don't blame the Irish people. Blame the Irish government for this. They're the ones responsible for this
shite. No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Whoever organised this and whoever overseen us And I mean to say, Norma Foley is a teacher. She should know. She should be on. Well, looking for Edgar, he was a doctor. And look what happened when he was in charge of the Department of Health. Mm. She's in charge of the Department of Education, and that's up on its belly as well. I think it's a disgusting thing. Your man is right. Maybe somebody should take it to the courts and go, this is a hate crime against the people and the culture of Ireland. Get it out of our curriculum. Yeah, and shame on whoever come up with the idea of it. All right?
Thanks very much indeed, Morris. Let me go to Rory finally, if I can. Rory, hi, how are you?
Not bad, Niall. How about you?
Good. Rory, you're my last caller today, and I don't expect you to say very much different, apart from you might have a different slant on this, but it certainly does look like, you know, our culture is being eroded. Not only eroded, for me and for a lot of people, they're kind of saying the government hate the Irish.
Yeah, I think because you have to consider this is part of a pattern of a few policies that are anti-Irish. I mean, we discussed the immigration stuff, but Eben Joseph now is to come in and wave her finger at all of us to tell us how racist.
She should be telling the government that it's racist, isn't she? She's supposed to be in charge of diversity or something, or racism or something now, isn't she?
Yeah, I don't know that they want real diversity. They want a kind of supremacy. You know, I mean, because one lot are being undermined. The critical race theorists have never really known what to do with the Irish because we never colonized anyone. But they decided in their wackery that at some stage we became white, and I'm not sure they know how to do with us, but they're very clearly bigots themselves. I mean, I know we have autonomy in education, but I mean, that portrayal is a globalist thing. Mm. You know, that it's absolutely...
Well, I mean, what it's doing is, it's telling, you know, the young kids to compare family A and B. And clearly, no matter how Irish your child is, if your child, as Niamh rightly said, you know, played the Béarán and played GAA at 12 or 13 years of age, and they go in and they see this and they see the other trendy family, you know, of course they're going to pick the trendy family, and it just makes the Irish look bad. It makes children start to wonder and think, you know, is everything Irish bigoted? Because that's what it suggests.
Well, how will the black child turn out after reading that? They're being indoctrinated as much as the Irish to hate Irish culture. You know, it's pitting one against the other. The odd thing is that Irish family had a curry, they'd be accused of
appropriating, yeah. Cultural appropriation, yeah.
You can't win with these people. Like, it's a constant cycle of victimhood, and it's very, very sinister, you know, and it operates.
I thank you very much indeed for that. Sorry, I've just to go to Malachy before I finish. Malachy, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall.
Malachy, this book certainly is the topic of conversation today, and I have said I should tell all parents to, if it was me, I'd remove it from this child's bag and put a note in its place saying they won't be bringing it to school again.
Well, I mean, I think that the story about the book has been floating around for some time now, and Jana London and Grit, you know, have been going on about it for a while. It's only today, I think, that mainstream media have picked it up. Because there is no choice. I mean, there is in this country, and I'm now convinced of it, an actual hatred of anything to do with the Irish nation or the Irish people, right from the political class through the NGOs and that whole liberal woke agenda. They just hate us and hate anything we stand for. And it beggars belief that these people are in power.
But how do they honestly believe at some point that nobody was going to spot this? In the hope, I suppose, that only children see it and nobody says anything. But how did somebody in the department not look at that? I mean, because everybody I've spoken to... Yeah, but hang on, Malachy. Everyone I've spoken to, when they saw it first, when I saw it first on Saturday, when it was kind of going around online, this particular picture of the Irish family, right? I thought, I'm not going to fall for this one. I'm not going to retweet that. That's someone's at the setting that up. That's a joke. That can't be real. That just couldn't be real. So when I find out it is real, and I'm reading Gripped on Saturday with Niamh Breen's article on, and I find out it is actually real, I'm thinking to myself, who honestly approved that? Who looked at that and said, sure, well, look, we'll get away with that. That's grand. We've just made out the Irish family, you know, this kind of potato-eating, bacon-eating, RTE-watching, racist, bigoted Irish family. Should that be grand?
Niall, the ball stops on this with Norma Foley. Ultimately, the minister is responsible for what's put into the educational curriculum. So she should be gone at this stage. But just like you, when I saw her, I had to go and read it and had to go and double check it. Just as I did last week when I saw the mayor of Cork standing outside, I think it was City
Hall. Yeah,
with a load of naked men. And I actually tweeted, is this real?
Because yeah, I thought it was Photoshopped as well, because I said, who'd be mad enough to do that? No, it is real. And by the way, he's defended it. Oh, yeah, I know.
unbelievable. Again, another Green minister. Mm. You have to question, or not minister, but Green Party, Lord Mayor or Mayor. You have to question what these people are at. But remember now, these people don't care. These are the people who spent over a quarter of a million, 335,000
on a bike shed,
on a bit of glass and a few bits of steel in Leinster House. The same people who are spending over nearly 2.5 billion on a hospital, which will probably never be finished, 88 million on a cycle track from Clontarf to the city centre. These people just don't care about what happens in this country. And they're purely in it. You would like to say that they're stupid and naive, but they're not. They know exactly what they're doing. And the problem is that when people, most people are sheep, and most people are afraid to stand up. And I guarantee you that most parents will talk to their friends and say, this is terrible, what's in this book. But they won't do one thing about it. And you referenced other things that are going through the curriculum about, you know, this gender stuff and all the instructions that are being given to children. And then they wonder why there are so many sexual assaults, why children are so sexualized at this time in their lives. You know, it's been done deliberately to destroy this nation. And people have a chance, the sooner the better, hopefully it's in October, to get rid of these people. But, you know, the opinion polls are telling us now, not that I have any faith in opinion polls, remember, they told us that Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump the last time. And in fact, the only hope that this world has, Niall, is the re-election of Donald Trump in November.
But you, but hey, Donald Trump, but when you're saying
the presidential election, the world
we're doomed. Oh no, I couldn't agree with you more. But because I've listened to some of the shite that Kamala Harris comes out with in relation to this government, you're saying the only chance the Irish people have is, you know, in November when there's an election. What's the alternative?
Well, the only alternative. One of the alternatives is to it. No, Sinn Féin are no alternative.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're not the same.
But what people need to do is to ensure that there's at least a decent block in that parliament of people like myself, people like Carol Nolan, Maddie McGrath, and people who will actually stand up and say,
"Are you running for election?"
As it is,
are you running for election?
I'll be running for election. Okay. Yes, okay. In Dublin Central, against the leader of the Provisional Alliance, Mary Lou MacDonald. Mm. You know. People who, for instance, just fully support puberty blockers for children in this state.
Well, they haven't in the north, surprisingly enough.
And in the north, they're opposing them. So these people don't know, are purely populist.
But here's the problem, Malachy. And I would agree with you that people should be looking at independence or people, you know, who agree with their principles. But if everybody votes for independence, should we can't form a government?
We can, Niall, because...
But they never agree with each other, because Malachy, you're centre-right, okay? You know, Carol Nolan is centre-right, maybe.
I'm not firmly anymore, Niall.
No, you're never. So Carol Nolan would be kind of centre-centre-right, okay? There's other people there from, say, Independent Ireland who might be centre-right as well, okay? But you all don't agree with each other either. There's certain things you don't agree on. So what I'm saying is...
Of course there is.
So how could you have any kind of agreement in votes in the Dáil when you have a majority of independents?
Well, hold on. People will tell us that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens all have different policies. They have united together to destroy this country. You know, we will unite together... Independence of like mind. We don't have to agree on everything, but we have to agree on the main fundamentals. One, close the border, stop importing people, solve the housing crisis, stop indoctrinating our kids with all of this ideology and the war's going to end tomorrow, and if you're a boy, you can...
Oh, I see. Did you see Eamon Ryan's latest piece in the paper today in the Irish Times? It turns out, by the way, Ireland is unique when it comes to climate change, that we're going to have cold weather while the rest of the world burns up. They just throw out a narrative.
A bit of sun.
They throw out a narrative that suits whatever's happening at that particular time. Last week, December, we were told this summer was going to be the hottest summer on record, right? That's what we were told by the climate people.
When we were growing up, Niall, it was the new ice age was coming.
Listen, Malachy,
I'm running out of time. Go ahead. And people may know, and if people want to know what this country is. Enoch Burke, and the police tell us they don't have the resources to chase. And they told me last week we can't deal with drugs because we haven't got the resources. They could send four guards on two occasions to drag Enoch Burke back into prison, where he has now spent over 400 days.
I want to say something in relation to that, because everybody's online. Let's be clear. Let's not just repeat the misinformation online. Enoch Burke is not in jail because he won't recognise a transgender or the pronoun of a person, right? Enoch Burke is in jail, as we all know, because he's in direct conflict with a judge, and it's a not following the orders
he's
of the court.
He's in jail for contempt.
Contempt, yeah. But, not following the orders of the court. But hang on. But there has to be a better way. By the way, can I just say one thing? I do give the man credit for his principles and standing by his principles. But there has to be a better way of dealing with that situation than putting him in jail every single time.
Well, let me answer that in two ways. This state cannot deal with people of principle who don't bow down to the diktats of the state. So Enoch Burke has said quite clearly he'll stay in jail for the rest of his life.
That's terrible. But that's awful.
But Niall, yes.
I mean, whatever you think of the man and the family is irrelevant. You know what I mean?
This is an important point. If we're to jail people for contempt of court or breach of court orders, we would need to build 10 more jails. One, to jail all the men who regularly breach court orders, generally men, in not paying maintenance, and all of the women who regularly breach access orders and refuse to allow their children see their father. The jails will be full. So, you know, either we argue that court order should be obeyed, and if that's the case, then it should be obeyed by everybody. Mm. But they're making an example of Enoch Burke, and Enoch Burke is too strong for them, and they really don't know what to do.
That's what I'm saying. They don't know what to do in this situation, but there has to be an alternative to putting the man in jail every single time. No matter what you think of him, what you think of his purpose or his principles, you have to give him 10 out of 10 for principles, by the way, standing by them. But in saying that, you know, putting him in jail constantly all the time is not the answer.
Our children or our grandchildren will be talking about Enoch Burke in the way that our generation talked about people like Solzhenitsyn. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, in Russia, who was sent to the gulags because he opposed communism.
Well, listen, Maliki, I have to wrap it up, unfortunately, but listen, thank you very much indeed, and I'm glad you mentioned that towards the end, anyway. Thank you very much, and by the way, once again, can I mention the name of the book, by the way? It's gone off my screen now. Anyway, I'll put it back up in a second. The name of the book... It is there on the screen. You'll recognise it. Go into the middle of it. It's a big SPHE book. Just root it out of your kid's school bag. And have a look at it. And if you feel that's appropriate for your child, you fire away. And you let your child look at it. Because I don't think it's appropriate for any child of 12 or 13 who has a very impressionable mind to be told that Irish people, you know, are a bunch of gobshites. Basically, who are racist and intolerant of everything else, and to allow them to compare them with this kind of trendy, modern, diverse family. Like, it's just ridiculous. I don't know who approved it. Remove it from the bag, put a note in and say, your child will not be bringing that book to school anymore. That's what I would do. It's up to you what you want to do. And, you know, and if enough people do that, the government are going to have to pay attention. The book should be withdrawn. The Minister for Education needs to come out and make a statement in relation to it as to how it was approved, how that was allowed to happen. Now, that's only one aspect of the book. I will do a deeper analysis with it with Jana Landon over the next couple of weeks in relation to other aspects of not just that book, but other books as well that Jana has issue with. But I also take issue in that particular book with the whole idea of gender ideology and telling children they can be anything they want to be and that they're assigned their sex at birth. Nobody, as Niamh rightly pointed out, nobody is assigned their sex at birth. You just are what you are. You have a penis, you have a vagina, it's biology, that's what you are at birth. Nobody has to assign you a sex at birth. That's just what you are. And if you don't know that, you are clearly stupid and that you've never studied biology. So to turn around and tell a child, you know, that you have a choice in that in some way, I think is ridiculous. You're asking children to pretend and play pretend with other people who should be supported and should be helped and do need some sort of intervention. If people are confused about their gender, they need help and they need support is what they need. They don't need to be mocked, by the way, but they need help and support. But they clearly need to be told that you can't be something. The funniest thing, actually, just very quickly, is there's two girls gone viral on Twitter or on TikTok, and they're two young, good-looking, attractive girls, but they've put dildos in their underwear. So they're pretending to be transgender. Work this one out. The transgender community are wishing death upon them, saying, how dare you pretend to be a gender that you're not? Think about this. The transgender community are giving out to them, saying, how dare you pretend to be a gender that you're not? Think of the irony of that. Isn't that mad? Anyway, listen, thank you to everybody getting involved in the show today. By the way, don't forget, please donate. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. Please donate. Without your donations, we can't raise topics like this. It's really important. We're the only ones doing it. This will end up now mainstream media tomorrow or later on today because they can't avoid it now. Whereas before that, it was just Gript. It was just me. It was everybody else that was kind of under the shadows. So we need to get these stories out. And the only way we can do that every single day is with your support financially. We can't do it. It's not free. It costs us money to do it. We don't make money. We don't have advertising. So we just need donations and subscriptions to cover our costs once a month. Please go to our website, nileboylan.com. Donate a fiver. If you can just donate a fiver, that would be absolutely wonderful. If you can subscribe once a month, that'd be so great. And don't forget, every single day, by the way, we pick out one person who either subscribes or donates and we send them one of our mugs. We've got the Nile, but there they are on the screen. The Nile Boylan podcast mugs. All right, so please donate or subscribe and you could get yourself one of those mugs. Do it today. Do it now. A fiver, a tenner, 20, I don't care. Or if you can subscribe, the price of a cup of coffee between three of us that work on the show once a month. That's all we're asking you for. Please help us to continue doing what we do every single day and expose all of this. Thank you. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Nile Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Nile Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.